Welcome to Charting New Paths in Pre-K through 12 Education, a podcast by Solution Tree. In our Reaching Summit 2024 series, we'll talk about the Summit on PLC at Work coming up in February. For this mini-series, we invite some of the keynote speakers and presenters for this event to share their experiences, their expertise, and valuable insights with you. Listen to this mini-series and be inspired to add another tool in your toolbox of research to firm strategies once you explore and attend this event to improve student outcomes. I'm your host, Prisma Lopez Marin. Enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we continue with a new mini-series, the Reaching Summit 2024 series. And as you know, we're going to be discussing the Summit on PLC at Work that's coming up on February 13th through the 15th of 2024. Yes, of this new year. And we're so excited to see you in Phoenix, Arizona, which is where the event is taking place. To learn more about this event, navigate to our website, solutiontree.com. Under the Events tab, go to On-Site Events and then click on the Summit on PLC at Work. All right, we are joined by one of the keynote speakers here for this event, Dr. Luis Cruz. Dr. Cruz is the former principal of Baldwin Park High School and Holland Middle School, located east of Los Angeles, California. He has been a teacher at the elementary level and administrator at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. Dr. Cruz is an educational consultant who presents throughout the United States on PLCs, school culture, the role of school leadership teams, RTI, and also the conditions needed for students and for parents learning English as a second language to be academically successful. Dr. Cruz, we are so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode.
Thank you, and buenos dias, everyone. Hello, and it's an honor to be with you. So thank you for the invite.
Buenos dias. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to speak with you and then also obviously to see you again. I know we did a webinar a little bit ago. It just seemed like it was yesterday. But now we're here to talk about the Summit on PLC at Work. Tell us about your experience with the summit.
Wow, the summit is, to be honest with you, it's been described to me as sort of the Oscars of the PLC world at Solution Tree. And so you can only imagine how honored I was when several years ago I was invited to speak. So as one of the presenters, it's an honor, but as a continuous learner, it's an opportunity for me to learn from the best of the best, to be very honest with you. And so while I enjoy teaching this work, I also enjoy attending sessions myself and hearing from the amazing people that have contributed so much to this work and who continue to contribute to making education accessible and successful for all. So it is the Oscars of the education world, I call it.
Nice. I like that. I definitely do like that. And it is not so much to get the excitement going, but it really is. That's just how people come out of that event, feeling so empowered and so ready to go, not just for the new year, but for all the years that are coming. So what are you looking forward to this year at the summit?
You know, there's a lot of new presenters that I've not had a chance to hear before. So getting different perspectives, I think, for me is going to be wonderful. It's always wonderful to reunite with friends like Mike Matos and Anthony Muhammad and others. But it is an opportunity for us to begin the new year, right? 2024. It's going to be in February. So the year will be off to a start. Really sort of reimagining, if you will, what education should look like and what it must look like. And so, you know, not too far from me is Disneyland. I live about 40 minutes away from Disneyland. And Disneyland uses, when they're creating a new ride, they call it Imagineers. They don't call them engineers. They call them Imagineers. And I was staring at that one day and thought to myself that this is what these events like the summit are, right? It's a chance to reimagine, if you will, what education should look like in 2024 and how we have the toughest time in the world in our profession changing things that we've been accustomed to. And so it's an Imagineering conference, if you will, focused around how do we create a system that is going to allow all kids in 2024 and beyond to learn at the levels that they need to be successful. So it's exciting.
That's right. And it's a huge opportunity also because it's everybody from all over the states. It's not just your individual state. It's everyone. So you get a vast majority of unique perspectives.
Yeah, we learn not just from the presenters and the teachers at the summit, but the participants. You know, we make things very, very engaging. And to learn about schools in Nebraska or schools in Ohio or schools in Florida, schools in my home state of California that are reimagining education in a way that makes sense and is producing results is truly exciting. So can't wait. Very much looking forward to the event. And from hearing from past attendees who leaving empowered as well is something that I look forward to moving forward.
Nice. Now you have been with Solution Tree for a minute. So how did you learn about Solution Tree? Was it when you were a teacher?
Yeah, you know, that's a fascinating story, to be honest with you, because I was a struggling middle school principal in beautiful Baldwin Park, California, where I did a lot of my work. And I'm there, and someone I'll never forget, the district had hired coaches for principals, and my coach happened to be wonderful. And she drops on my desk this flyer about a PLC event in Newport Beach, California. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to be able to own real estate in Newport. So I thought this would be kind of cool to pretend to live in Newport Beach, attending a conference. And then maybe halfway through the keynote, whoever that is, I'll leave and answer all the emails that I'm constantly backed up on. So I attended the event, and I'll never forget that our leader and CEO and Jeff Jones, a dear friend, started the event. First time I had ever seen him. And he was the MC back then. And then he introduced Rick DeFore, who I also call Ricardo De Cuatro. And Ricardo got up there and he just blew my mind. He just talked about things that made sense. He offered a sociological perspective to things. And my major happened to be sociology in college, so I was fascinated. Long story short, over the years, I got to know not just Rick DeFore, but also Anthony Muhammad. And Anthony Muhammad is someone who I love very much, is a dear friend, and I call him the older brother that I never had. I have a great younger brother, but he's the older brother that I never had. And he slowly took me under his wing because he began to see that I was implementing the things I was learning. Over the years, he introduced me to the folks at Solution Tree. And before you know it, I'm being asked to provide evidence that our school had successfully implemented this work. I showed that evidence and then was invited to be a presenter. And I was supposed to do it for 1 year because I had plans to become a superintendent. And 11 years later, I'm still part of this amazing family and I enjoy every minute of it. So that's a brief synopsis of how I was introduced.
That's amazing. You know, I honestly believe, like, I keep saying this in every single interview. I feel like I'm like a broken record here, but I do believe that there is a purpose to your journey and everything happens for a reason kind of thing, to where you had your plans, but this is a different journey that you went into.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I often say God had different plans for me. I'm not saying that one day maybe I will not explore a superintendency. Maybe that's still in my cards, but I'm still teaching, and teaching is at the core of what I enjoy doing. The difference is that now I'm teaching a classroom of 5,000, 3,000 educators who are all very, very curious about how to reimagine education, right? And so having some experience with that, both at a practical and theoretical level, now that I'm publishing and writing about my ideas and doing research, allows me to still teach. And nothing is more exciting than when your students send you an email saying, hey, that stuff you talked about, it worked. And more kids are learning. And so the opportunity to touch the lives of kids that I haven't even met yet, or maybe will never meet, is what keeps me very much empowered and enthused about this work, if you will. So, yeah.
Nice. That's so wonderful. I do have other questions, but we have to keep on track here. Well, let me ask you this. What advice do you have for other educators who are veterans and who are new?
Yeah, for the veterans, we have to keep, again, I keep harping on this theme, reimagining, right? We can slowly and very easily get trapped in the minutia of, I've always done it this way, I experienced it this way, and I'm going to do it this way, right? So the challenge for veterans is how to continuously embrace being professional public school educators, and professional meaning getting better over time and understanding the link between our existence in a school and an ever-changing society, and how we need to keep up with regard to what that society is being asked for students to be able to do. For new educators, I think it's going to be very important to spend some time honing in on your craft. I was getting a haircut a couple of days ago at my barbershop, and my barbershop is like a place where therapy happens amongst mostly men, right? And my barber is actually going to be a teacher. I'm very proud of him. His name is Alex. And Alex says, you know, I'm one test away from starting. And I said, are you going to continue doing being a barber and at the same time teaching? He said, yeah, but I really want to focus on teaching because I realize I have to become really, really good at that if anything else is going to happen. And I really appreciated those words because he is understanding even at a very young age that teaching is not easy and it is not something that anybody can do. I really want to be clear on that point. Teaching is your ability to produce learning with a team, no have you, right? So I think it's going to be really important that new teachers really understand that there's a difference between presenting and teaching, and that professional public school educators take children no matter where they're at, and they make amazing learning happen. And so for the new educators entering the field, really hone in on that ability to produce learning and then share it with a team of people so that you can collectively do it successfully. So, yeah.
Thank you. All right. So you have been presenting at the summit, as we've mentioned, for years now. So I imagine you have some favorite hangout places in Phoenix. What places do you recommend?
Yeah, Phoenix is a beautiful little, not little, but it's a wonderful city. I think there's a lot of hole in the walls. I often say that some of the best food I've had has been in the Phoenix area. And so I have had the honor of really working with some amazing educators. Shout out to a superintendent from Isaac School District, Mario Ventura, who has taken me around and shown me all the holes in the walls. And so having grown up in the barrios of Los Angeles, whenever I hear hole in the wall, I know it's going to be really good, authentic food. So okay, yeah. The weather is always great. The summer is a little too hot for me, but I think February is going to be amazing, especially for those folks who are experiencing like super cold weather and just want to escape a little bit. And the food is wonderful. And I think it's going to be a good time.
All right. Well, also, let's get into what you're going to be there for. That's what I love about the summit is that like our keynotes and our presenters are not just there to be keynotes, but then you're also doing, they have you there to work also, but in a good way, right?
Yes.
So at the summit, you have the honor of delivering the closing keynote on the last day, among other things. So your keynote is titled Transformational Leadership, Aligning Behaviors to Fuel Our PLC Journey. What can attendees expect from this keynote?
Yeah, this keynote is going to focus in on, now that we've learned all the technical changes that are going to be necessary for our schools to reimagine themselves as professional learning communities, we're going to need to deal now with the hardest part about this work, and that is adult resistance to this work, right? So I've never been to a school where kids are picketing outside saying no to PLC, no to PLC, but I have seen adults react that way. And so this whole keynote is focused on the work that my partner and I, Dr. Muhammad, and I focused in our book, Time for Change, right? And so I'm going to talk about how if the key is to produce the right kind of culture at our school so that this work that we are walking away with from the summit happens, it's going to require leadership in the form of a team of mostly teachers and administrators, understanding the difference between when resistance is rational and when it's irrational, right? So as human beings, especially in today's very divided world, we tend to react immediately when there's resistance and we take it personally. And so my keynote is going to focus on don't take it personally. Just understand that change is difficult for human beings. And rather than ask yourselves, why are we experiencing resistance? The real question is the resistance that we're experiencing rational or irrational? Because there's an antidote for both. And so I'll leave you with that cliffhanger, if you will, so that the folks can really enjoy the keynote. But that's what I'm going to focus in on, is dealing with the human aspect of change from a traditional school system that was never designed for all kids to learn at high levels to one that is a professional learning community that is. So stay tuned.
Nice. Well, everybody listening here, like, definitely be there for that, because I'm over here leaning in, trying to see what is it? But let's get to the next question here. So you are also presenting two breakouts. On day one, you're presenting taping before painting, blending the PLC and RTI processes to collectively respond when students don't learn. And on day two, you're also presenting embracing the five vessels, learning the non-negotiables to becoming a high functioning PLC. Tell us about these two breakouts.
Yeah, these are two of my favorite breakouts. They've had very strong positive reactions, if you will. So I wanted to really sort of fine tune some of it. But the first is going to focus on how two processes, the PLC process and the RTI process, come together to create a professional learning community. So when I teach this work, I talk about PLCs being both a noun and a verb. Your school, the noun, becomes a PLC when adults in the building engage in the PLC process. That's the verb. But when we unite that PLC process with the RTI process, that's when we see the magic happen. And so I call the session taping before painting, because everybody wants to jump right into intervention. Right. Okay. What do we got to do to help these kids learn? Not understanding that there's a whole set of actions that happen before that. So in the same manner that you would not paint a room without first taping or prepping the room, I talk about the things that need to happen for our intervention efforts to actually work. The second breakout is entitled The Five Vessels. And that one is really something that emerged from reading the book that is behind you, Learning by Doing. And learning by doing is, I often refer to it as the manuscript, if you will. It's the handbook, because that's what it actually is. It's a handbook on how to get this work done. So we move away from theory and we get into the how do we, as people who actually work in schools, not in academia, make this happen. And so on pages 258, 259, and 260 of the book, there are a set of behaviors that the original architects of that work provided. And they are adult behaviors. And there are two columns, left column behaviors and right column behaviors. So the key for our schools to become professional learning communities is the left column behaviors have to move to the right. So in order to move all these behaviors from left to right, I came up with the idea of, what if we created five vessels that allowed that transformation to happen? Rather than focus on each one of the behaviors that I often equate to cargo containers, you're not going to move one cargo container across the Atlantic from Europe to the United States. That would be a very inefficient trading system, if you will. Then we're not just going to focus on one of those behaviors at a time. So let's develop five vessels that are going to allow you to move all those left column behaviors to the right. So I'm going to show people how these five vessels, if you master them as a school, will create the behaviors needed for your school to become a PLC. So once again, stay tuned.
That's right. Nice. Oh, that's so exciting. All right, let's get into your book here. Time for Change, Four Essential Skills for Transformational School and District Leaders that you co-authored with Dr. Anthony Muhammad. In there, you spotlight effective organizational change as having two dimensions, the technical and the cultural. Can you elaborate on balancing both to enhance leadership skills?
Yeah, a takeoff from Dr. Muhammad's work, right? His emphasis on school culture being a sort of prerequisite for the PLC work to take off. And so let's look at it this way, right? And he often describes it this way. So let me quote my friend and partner in this work. So technical change are the non-human changes that happen at a school, a bell schedule, curriculum, standards. But cultural change are the human aspects that we have to embrace. So my attitude, my values, my beliefs, but most importantly, my behaviors. So we make a distinction between, we're going to need both technical and cultural change to successfully produce and reimagine a system whereby it functions as a professional learning community. But how do we get adults to behave in a way that allows this to happen? And that's the premise of the book. It's what are the needs that adults have in schools that must be met by transformational leaders? So off the bat, we make it very clear that transformational leadership is no longer synonymous with just administration. So teachers are going to have to lead. The problem is that administrative credential programs, teaching credentialing programs do not teach us to lead people. They teach us to manage a school mostly. And so thank you for teaching me how to create a master schedule. Thank you for teaching me about Ed Code. Thank you for allowing me to learn how to keep a balanced budget. Those are all important. That's how you manage a school. But I need help with the fact that our staff was introduced to research-based practices and they don't want to do it. Our staff is resisting working together. So how do I handle that? So we get more into the cultural aspect of change, right? And how do we help mindsets move from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset? And how do we deal with both rational and irrational forms of resistance? Because schools can become easily one heck of a telenovela.
Yeah.
And if we don't know how to manage, if we don't know how to handle that telenovela,
yeah,
then it becomes a telenovela filled with unfortunate consequences. Let me just put it that way. The most serious being kids leave our schools without the skills to be successful in life. And so for those kids stuck in poverty, another generation of poverty is their future. For those kids that have learning challenges, they continue to have learning challenges in the real world. And so we cannot allow our schools to become telenovelas. So there you go.
Going back to investing in students that are raised and born and raised in poverty, and then also if that's what they're born and raised in, and then having to deal that with that kind of bias in schools. For example, just personally, like my family is from Chicago, so I have cousins that went through the system there. And so just hearing what they've gone through in school as opposed to what I've gone through in the middle, well, I guess we're both in the Midwest. I don't know. I'm in Indiana, but it's different. So I was born in Mexico, but I was raised here in Indiana. And so it is so different in Bloomington, Indiana. So it's so different to hear what their experience is just with teachers, just with administrators. And in my head, as a student, as a young person, I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense, does it? Like, why is it so different than what I'm going through?
That's right. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, it's sometimes people who think the system is perfect will use people like you and I as poster children, right? And say, look, Prisma made it and Luis made it. And then I'll say, don't use me as a poster child because for every one Prisma or one Luis, there's hundreds, thousands of kids just like us that didn't make it.
Yeah.
And so Do we live in a country that provides opportunities? Absolutely. I love living in the United States. I'm proud to be a citizen of the United States, but we still got work to do if we're going to live up to that credo of opportunities for all. Our systems were not designed for all to have the opportunities you and I have been granted. So that does not mean that we lessen our admiration and our existence in the United States. It just means we got work to do. And so how about we roll up our sleeves and make it happen so that we can truly, truly live to the credo that we embrace as Americans, right?
That's right. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about what you've already covered, really, about resistance to change from educators. As you mentioned in your writings and your presentations as well. For example, an educator returns to their school after the summit and they are ecstatic with their experience at the event. They come to their schools and they share their excitement about the PLC process with their colleagues, and immediately they are met with resistance. What are some ways they can respond to this resistance effectively?
That's a great question. And so, yes, people will be leaving the summit with a PLC tattoo somewhere on their body, right? So they're going to go back excited. They're going to go back ready to share. So this is where we need to be tactful in our approach, right? Because we have to understand context. And if we don't understand context, then we don't understand how best to introduce this work or provide the energy to continue the work, right? So Rick DeFore would often say that whether they called it PLC, he didn't care about, as long as they did the right work. So maybe going back with another acronym might not be the best approach for your school. Maybe in places where the word equity is still accepted, we can create, this is more information on how to create an equitable school environment. I like to describe it as we went to a conference and learned how to redesign a system that was never created for all kids. That seems to create a little bit more curiosity than another acronym, PLC, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be first important that this challenge of changing mindsets at our school, specifically adult mindsets, not be done alone. It has to be done by a team. So schools have forever had leadership teams, but these leadership teams have mostly focused on managing a school. What we need now is a guiding coalition, a coalition of mostly teachers and administrators, but mostly teachers who are literally going to continue to meet, continue to discuss, continue to learn the PLC process, and then tactfully introduce it to the faculty and staff. One of the best ways that this can happen is not have administrators do it, but have teachers stand up and do it. Now, that doesn't mean admin, you know, gets to stay in their office. They're in the room and they might open that meeting or that assembly of the faculty and staff. But once they open it and set the tone, they're going to hand it over to teachers who are going to creatively, because we're some of the most creative people on the planet, get the staff to see that PLC process is not another thing to do. PLC process is not another thing to do. It's a culmination of best practice and research coming together to create a single coherent focus on learning for our students. And if they can creatively begin that conversation in a way that doesn't come off as another thing we have to do, then they're going to get people to become curious, and that curiosity will lead to implementation of these best practices. And so it's got to be tactful. It's got to be very intentional. It's kind of like marriage, you know? How do you produce a happy marriage? You're very aware contextually, you're tactful in your approach, you're intentional, but you're also very empathetic in your approach. And you are also very supportive in your approach. And so all of these things are covered in our work, and we provide scenarios so that leaders can learn from these scenarios, real life scenarios that Dr. Muhammad and I experienced, that will allow them to sort of see the human dimension and dynamic of this work and tackle it successfully so that the technical work actually happens at our school. So, yeah.
Well, then going back to real life scenarios, what would you say to teachers who are just stuck in this, I don't know if rut is a good word to say, but educators have this weight on them that they just have to be scholars all the time. They have to be educators all the time. They need to be people too. So what would you say to them to just lean in into their life experiences?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, one of the, and I say this with humility, one of the compliments that I often receive when I teach this work is my ability to include stories in the technical and theoretical work that is redesigning school systems, right? And so empathy, what I brought up early, is going to be very important. So the good news is that this is not a race. It's a marathon. So no one is going to expect people to leave the summit and by the end of the school year have everything that they've learned in place. So they've been presented with puzzle pieces, and now they have to put these puzzle pieces together to create one single coherent focus on learning. So what puzzle piece are you going to begin with? In some schools, their culture leads them to choose puzzle pieces on this left side. Other schools are going to choose them on their right side. I'm going to pick the ones in the middle. I might have to back up a little bit and fix some of the puzzle pieces that we started with. So the only way you mess this up is you do nothing after the summit, right? You really want to mess this up, go back and do nothing. But the way you move this work forward is you can take steps back and reflect. You can move forward. You can go left. You can go right. You can go as slow as you need to go or as quickly as you think you can go. So for those teachers that want to lead this work, start slow to go fast. Think, what does our faculty and staff need at this moment? And how can we take one of these puzzle pieces, introduce it so that enthusiasm builds, and then we build upon that leading into the next puzzle piece? And so having done this work at a school as a former principal myself, because that's what's unique about the Solution Tree family, right? Yeah. The vast majority of us that teach this work, especially within the context of PLC and RTI, have lived the work. So we're not coming from a place of theory only. We're coming from a place of practice. And so we're letting you know, look, this is how people are going to react. Hey, people are going to react this way. They're going to be resistant in this manner. And this is how you tackle that. And so this is going to be about your will, your collective will to want to change a system never created for all kids, tactfully and intentionally taking on confused, fixed-minded, sometimes we don't have all the pieces, colleagues, so that together you create momentum and then you begin to experience the magic of more kids learning at the levels that they need so that they can become productive members of our society and not a detriment to society. So
I was born and raised in poverty, but I decided to take on action to continue on, right? But because I had good influences within the education system, yes and no. There was it was half and half. So I had half who were like, you cannot go to, because I have DACA, I'm a DACA recipient. So half were like, you're never going to go to college. That's never going to happen for you. And then the others like, you can do it. You can make it happen. So it's one of those things that teachers have such a huge influence on what happens. If you accept that kind of influence, their positive influence as well.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. The minute you said that, I sometimes find things on the internet that I like and I take a picture of. So this is what I found recently. Few things have a greater impact on student success than a teacher who believes in them. And that is a contribution from Dr. Brad Johnson. Now, I have not met Dr. Johnson, but those words are true. Yeah. Few things have a greater impact on student success than a teacher who believes in them. You and I right now can close our eyes and think of the teachers who influenced our thinking and our trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to continue to believe that the vast majority that enter this profession enter with those intentions. Are there exceptions to the rule? Yes. I can write a whole book on the people that did not contribute to my journey at all. In fact, tried to maybe diminish my path. But the vast majority of the people contributed beautifully, right? Dr. Rod Ogawa at UC Riverside when I was working on my doctorate. In high school, I had a teacher who believed in me and didn't let me fail with regard to mathematics, which at the time was not my most passionate subject, right? And in elementary school, I can list Miss Rangel, who died after she did our report cards. And I thought to myself, our bad grades killed her. No. But it was these people that I can go back and think of that were absolutely amazing. And so it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to have the tools to allow that belief to actually happen. And that's what we're going to do at the summit, right? The summit is going to give you the tools to complement your moral imperative to want to see kids succeed. If that is what you're into, then pick up the tools and then unite them with your attitude of wanting all kids to learn at high levels and then make it happen. And so I agree with you. You know, I agree with you that we've been influenced, but I often say that our profession can embrace something called healthy greed, right? We're allowed to be greedy in this profession and we're allowed to want all of them to do well. Like if you and I were, you know, workers of Wall Street and we were already millionaires, and I said, we need more, we need to hit the billions. And if you've already hit the billions, we need to hit the trillions. And if you've already hit the trillions, you need to, that would be sick. Cause like you're rich already, you're fine. Really? You want more money? But in our profession, we can be greedy. Yes, I'm excited. We have a 95% graduation rate, but we haven't hit 100 yet. So let's go. So let's be greedy at the summit and then let's walk away with the tools needed to make, to meet our greed, if you will, and complement the greed to want to have all kids learn at the levels that they need.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with so that people can expect from the 2024 summit?
I'm looking forward to the summit. I'm looking forward to being there with you. I'm even buying a new suit. So, man, I'm telling you, it is exciting. You know how all the Hollywood actors buy their dresses. And so I went out and said, oh, man, the Oscars of the PLC Summit are going. And I got a smaller size on purpose so I can work out between now and then and fit into the suit. So there you go. We're all getting ready for the Oscars of Education, the PLC Summit. I'm honored to be not only a presenter, but also a participant. And I can't wait to greet everyone there in person because life is good and we're going to make it better with what we learn. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us here for this conversation. It's so exciting to always talk to you. And thank you also for telling us more about the Summit on PLC at Work.
It's so good to be with you, Prisma, and you are a walking example of what our kids can become. So honored to know you and meet you, and I look forward to working with you and hopefully more kids that look like us and more kids that don't look like us continue to do well. So Prisma, thank you for your leadership and for your awesomeness as well.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Now, this event is sounding more and more as another tool for your toolbox with teaching. In addition to learning from Luis Cruz and other presenters, there are other ways to make the most out of your time at the summit. The top three things to do at the event is visit our bookstore for exclusive deals and to see our new releases. Also, stop by the EdTech booth for free offers, special sway giveaways, and a mini session with Tina Bogren on day two from 9:30 a.m. to 9:45. And then lastly, create memories, spark up conversations with other educators, take photos with our Instagram-worthy backgrounds, and explore the beautiful city of Phoenix. Our Solution Tree team will see you there. As a reminder, the Summit on PLC at Work is coming up on February 13th through the 15th of 2024 taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. To learn more about this event, navigate to our website, solutiontree.com. Under the events tab, go to on-site events and then click on the Summit on PLC at Work. All right. Now for our sponsor message here at Solution Tree, we share your vision to transform education to ensure learning for all. And we can help you make this vision a reality. No other professional learning company provides our unique blend of research-based, results-driven services that improve learning outcomes for students. All right, we appreciate you tuning in. Make sure to navigate to our website, solutiontree.com/podcast, to listen to our other episodes. There you can subscribe to the podcast today on your favorite podcast app. Also, navigate to our Solution Tree YouTube channel to like our episodes and also subscribe to our channel. This has been your host, Prisma Lopez Marine. Thank you for joining our Solution Tree podcast as we venture to charting new paths in pre-K through 12 education.